Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our morning begins in our readings in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel the prophet is addressing God's people who have been under the thumb of the priests and the rulers and who have been abused by them and pushed around. And now Ezekiel has a new word. He says, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for the sheep, and I will seek them out. Just as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will feed them and I will water them, and there they will lie down in good grazing land, and they shall eat in rich pastures." It says, "Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep," which always makes me nervous, because it says, and I love this phrase, "you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals until your horns scattered them far and wide." The image is of rulers and a ruling class and a kingship in which if you've ever been to a farmyard, there's always the bully ram, right? And they do literally push the other sheep around. They butt them. If you go into the, ever been to the children's zoo? The petting zoo? There's always one sheep who, as soon as you walk in, they sniff your hand, and if you don't have anything, what do? Whoop! And that's the imagery within Ezekiel. That the rulers have pushed the people unjustly and forced them into doing things that are not in concert with what God wants. And in this text in Ezekiel, God claims them again for God's self. "I will gather them. I will draw them together myself. For the rulers and the priests and the kings that you have chosen have not followed my way. I will gather you up and I will give to you a shepherd, David." That text in Ezekiel describes a kind of reversal in the course of the kingdom, a change that's brought about by God's presence and God's grace. God reclaims God's people. In the wonderful text that follows in Ephesians, Paul understands that reclaiming to happen in a particular way. For Paul, for the author of the letter of Ephesians, it is God who reclaims God's people, not by setting up yet another monarchy. Because as you know, throughout the course of God's people, how well did monarchies go? It's a little hit or miss. As a matter of fact, as you read, I just love that it says, "I will send to you my shepherd David," and this is in Ezekiel, "who will just be a really great shepherd." Not so much. But in Ephesians, they say, look, God is sending a new king. And I thank God for this new king who will come and who has done this thing. "I do not cease to give thanks to you as I remember you in my prayers, and I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that you may know what is the immeasurable riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints." And then, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. He has put all things under his feet and made him head over all things, all in all. Suddenly the picture of the kingdom begins to shift. away from the priests and the rulers of early Israel who took advantage of the people, who refused to listen to God, who pushed flank and shoulder and horn and scattered all of God's people to this image of a different king who comes on a cross. Well, that's a very different way to think about God's power, isn't it? Even in our hymnody, actually one of the hymns that we sang this morning, and I think we're going to probably sing one just like it in a few minutes, we talk in these hymnody about God's power and majesty and might and God's glory and all of these wonderful, majestic images of God who sits on high with great thunderbolts, who will rescue us from ourselves. The problem is God doesn't reign that way. God brings God's power in the cross of Jesus Christ and then calls us to suffer and love and live and rejoice in that cross. So as we think about the Christ the King Sunday, it's really wonderful. I love the old paintings, the wonderful Baroque paintings of Jesus sitting on the throne in the great robe with the big gold crown. Fabulous stuff. Not terribly biblical, but really fabulous stuff. Because the only crown that Jesus wore was made of thorns. And the only throne he sits on is on high with God, having died and having risen. And in God's rule, in this new kingdom of this Jesus who died on the cross, we get a new kind of vision. It's not one of reward for good deeds or for fealty and obedience to a wrathful, powerful God, but a life lived in response to God's death on the cross. So that in our gospel lesson, as the king brings sheep and goat, take that Ezekiel, sheep from sheep, we get sheep from goats. And the sheep who God gathers back unto God's self are absolutely confused. When God says, look, I'm gathering you together because you are my people, and the sheep are looking around and saying, well, why? Well, because when I was hungry, you gave me food, and when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink, and when I was without shelter, you gave me shelter. When I was lonely and in prison, you visited me. And the sheep all look around at each other and say, was that you? Because it wasn't me. Did you do that? And they all say, quick question. We don't remember. When you did it to the least of those, the ones without power or resources, when you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. It's a very different kind of kingdom. It's a power rooted not in authority and force and knights and castles and moats, but rooted in the cross. And then the goats off to the left, hanging out together. What are we doing over here? And the address to them is, well, you know, you, when I was hungry, you didn't give me food, and when I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink, and yada yada yada. You know how it goes. And they go, they all talk to each other. Well, did we miss something? Did the king come to your house? No. When you fail the least of them, you fail me. The reign of Christ is a new and different kind of power. It's a kind of power that is rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the King with a crown of thorns, who calls us not to more power, but to compassion and love. That's the reign of Christ. Today we celebrate Bread for the World Sunday that looks to use what little power you have to call those who are in charge to do justice and to walk humbly with God. The same call that you have as subjects in the kingdom of God, we call all people to. And it isn't that we're looking for you to become good and moral people, and that if you will just go out and feed people and visit them in jail and do all of that kind of stuff, you can tick that off your list and say, I'm a sheep. One of the most wonderful things Luther said at the end of his whole life, after all of his working and doing and trying to be moral and good, was as he laid on his deathbed, he said, I am a beggar. And so are we. It isn't that we're trying to make things good for the king, or that we're trying to score brownie points. But in the power of the cross, the world is turned upside down. And in our weakness, we serve. And in the weakness of Christ, the world is transformed. It happens today. So go out from this place, bringing forth the kingdom of mercy and justice, that the world will be remade in the reign of Christ. Amen.